Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Mike Halachuk is a musician and songwriter in the band Fucked Up and a co-organizer of the annual Long Winter Arts Festival in Toronto, Ontario. Since Fucked Up formed in 2001, Halachuk has been guiding their creative vision, often writing much of the band's music and lyrics and conceiving of whatever ambitious move Fucked Up might make next. Consisting of Halachuk, Damian Abraham, Sandy Miranda, Jonah Falco, Josh Zucker, and Ben Cook, Fucked Up's latest album is called Dose Your Dreams. It's out via their new label, Merge Records, and it really does sound like their masterpiece. 18 dynamic songs rooted in punk, but also exploring all manner of genre signifiers and featuring guest contributions and vocals by the likes of Owen Pallett, Alice Hansen, Ryan Tong, Jennifer Castle, Mia Folick, Amy Godding, Jen Kalea, John Southworth, Ruby Mariani, A.O. Lilani, Jay Maskus, Jeremy Gaudet, Mary Margaret O'Hara, and Lito Pimenta, among others. Mike returns to this show, as he and I had a conversation in the E1 studio in Toronto recently, to talk about Dose Your Dreams, where this album came from, what it might mean to him, what's coming up next for Fucked Up, and much, much more. With the support of listeners like you who subscribe to this podcast and spread the word about it, and make flexible monthly pledges at patreon.com/creativecontrol, plus in-kind support for Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton. This is the 431st episode of Creative Control, featuring Mike Halachuk of Fucked Up, with your host, me, Vish Khanna. Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Great.
Good. Thanks for being back on my show.
Thanks for having me.
You and I have had a thing over the last year or so where we were going to make a podcast together.
I don't remember that at all.
You said we should make a podcast together. And
really?
I said, what would it be about? And you said, I don't know, just something. You're like a podcast fan? Or you like one podcast?
No. Do you want me to show you the ones I have in my
head? Yeah, sure. If you want to.
I mean, I like the obvious ones. I was just listening to Rupert Sheldrake on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Do you listen to the Joe Rogan?
Well, I'm not subscribed to it, but I like I cherry pick for stuff I like.
He gets great guests
every couple of weeks. Yeah, he's a little, This isn't going to be a podcast talking about
No, not at all. I just wondered.
Number one is Sean Carroll's Mindscape, then The Daily, Slate's Cultural Gabfest, Are You Talking R.E.M. Remy?
Uh-huh.
And then that's it.
I feel like the R.E.M. one is what inspired this notion that you and I could do something. Because I don't know why you thought I would be a good candidate to help.
I was probably joking. I don't want to do a podcast.
Why not? You have things to say.
I kind of don't. I have things to say every 4 years, and I make a fucked up record. So if you want to make a podcast every 8 years, one issue, or whatever they're called, episode.
They're called episodes.
Yeah. Ours would be issues.
I can imagine there might be some issues.
And the name would be called Issues.
The new record.
With Issue Connor.
Issues, and yeah, people would get my name wrong. Yeah, exactly.
What's your name, by the way?
Vish.
Okay.
Yeah. Do people come up to you and say my name wrong? Ever?
Once a day, somebody comes up to me and asks me about you on the street.
And do you correct them when they mispronounce my
Aren't
name?
Aren't you the guy in Fucked Up that knows Vish, they say?
We have kind of a weird long history because I have interviewed the band and you for 10 years or something. And then you would take excerpts of the interviews and put them on...
Mixtapes. Yeah. I just realized I could start doing that again this round of interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone I've asked so far has been like, I can't do it because of ethical reasons. And I'm like, it's my voice on my own thing that I'm making.
Oh, like because they work for a company or something? Oh, yeah, ethical reasons.
Like I'll do an interview with someone and then I'll be like, when the thing comes out, can you send me the tape of it so I can maybe poach some stuff for the mixtape?
Yeah,
like, well, I feel weird about that. And I'm like, well, I talked. It's like if you took a picture of me, would you feel weird sending me the picture?
Well, I will say on my end of things, I can have a perfectly nice conversation with someone and they would be like, yeah, it was really fun. Thank you so much. I had a good time or whatever. And then when it comes out, they don't share the thing. And you can tell that because there's something about our voices when you say a thing and I think you hear it back. You're like, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. I find that.
That's why I asked if I could edit this.
You did ask that. I'm not sure that that's permissible.
By whom?
Ethical reasons. I have ethical reasons for not letting you do that.
Which are what?
Just that I want to do it and put it out myself. And also, if you said something regrettable if something regrettable happened, I would ask you to say, stop, I don't want to talk about this. And then even...
You would say that?
No, I'm asking you. You could always just say, like, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
But once you say it, why would you take it back?
It's because, like, I don't have a policy of that. It's just because we're friends.
Yeah.
And because of what happened last time, I would say, Vish, if something comes out, because since we're friends, you're a little bit closer to the personalities in the band. And you sort of like, when we talk, it's not necessarily just about the music or our band from more of an objective standpoint. So since you're closer, you have a different sort of vantage. So I would say, if there's something that you were able to unearth that strategically... would do weird things to the band, I would say maybe take that out.
Right, which is kind of what happened the last time everyone was on the show, and which I didn't recognize at the time, that certain people just said things that you were like, why would they say that? And then it was on me, though, because I'm a journalist as well, so when someone says something intriguing, I want to present it, you know?
Well, that's the thing, which is fair, right? But it's like, as my friend, you wouldn't necessarily be like, well, I got your bandmate to say something embarrassing. I'm going to put it on my podcast.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because it's good for my, you know what I mean?
But I didn't think it was good for the show that someone said something in that context.
Yeah, that's not what I mean. But,
it's
that's
just,
only, that's the only reason why I said it.
I understand.
This whole thing has to be stricken from the record. The last 10 minutes.
No, I do think it's fair. It's fair. I actually just want to ask you about this record. More than any of the other stuff that people seem to talk to you about, fucked up about, because the record's really incredible, first of all, if I might say. And I'm just...
Did you say it in French?
Incroyable? Yeah. Is that... Did I get that right? My son's in French. I won the French award in grade 8. Did you win?
Like of Canada?
Yeah.
Wow. You got it from the Governor General?
No, from Lincoln Avenue Public School in Cambridge.
Yeah. Is it up on your wall?
I have the plaque. The school only closed down last year, but my name was on a plaque there too for winning. Anyway, but my French is now not there. But anyway,
it's not like riding a bicyclette.
That's good. Yeah. That's the kind of joke I would make. We should have a podcast. No, the record's really great, and I was really struck by just when I. It's one thing with a band like Fucked Up, with someone like Damien screaming stuff, and sometimes things go by me a little bit. But then when I actually look at the lyric sheet and see what, because you primarily write the lyrics, right?
This one I wrote, you do half and half, but this one I wrote all of them.
Right. Yeah. So there is a quality of lyricism here that I hope people pick up on, because
let it be known you're literally looking at the lyric sheet right now.
Well, I'm just glancing at it. I don't have any notes or anything. I'm just looking at it because there's a, I don't know. I mean, one of the questions I have for you is, and this is sort of maybe weird because I think you've done a great job with this record, but you have like a literary bent, I think, to your writing. Have you ever thought of doing like other things? It's like some of the stuff I would expect in a novel or a play or something.
Well, between this record and the last record, I applied for an MFA at Guelph. Shoutouts to Guelph.
Did you seriously?
Yeah. I applied for a poetry MFA.
Yeah, you got into poetry.
Yeah.
It became known to me that you got into poetry. Maybe you've always been into poetry. Sorry.
Someone on the street was like, are you V? She knows Mike who's into poetry.
No, you would start to post poems and stuff.
I didn't get in
to
the MFA program, but instead of pursuing it somewhere else, I wrote a 100-page prose poem.
Okay.
Which is a first of four. So I'll... Yeah, I mean, I like the structure of verse rather than the heart of it, kind of. Like, I'm not really like an avid reader of poetry, and it doesn't affect me in the way it's designed to do. But I like structurally putting words together into a verse.
Okay.
But I don't really read a lot of poetry, but I like writing.
Do you have like an English background, like officially? Like, did you go to school for something?
No, I went to school for environmental studies and international development studies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I don't have, it's the same with music. I don't have training or anything, but I like it.
You like it. Okay.
So I sort of last year I practiced writing. Basically, I was writing this poem every day. And then I wrote this record.
A specific poem you wrote a little bit.
Yeah. It's like an epic poem. It's 100 pages. This giant narrative thing. It's written in dactylic hexameter.
I'm an English guy, and I don't even...
That's what like all the epics are written in, like Homer. Okay. It's like the dactyls and seven and a half dactyls and spondees or whatever.
Hmm. So you read... You don't have training in... did you take English courses when you were doing your other thing?
What? University?
Yeah.
No.
You just... This is something you've...
Yeah.
You just appreciated on your own. Okay, so this epic poem, is any of the content of that poem reflected on this record?
No, just the sense that I was practicing writing verse every day for like a year.
Okay.
And then I came to this. But it's like a Bildungsroman about a guy 20,000 years ago.
A specific guy or someone you conjured? Like, is it a historical figure?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a work of fiction.
Work of fiction. Now, you are drawn to fiction. There's a character that has recurred, I think, throughout almost all of Fucked Up, David.
Yeah.
And he is back again. Did he ever go anywhere?
Glass Boys. Well, there's only two records that are about him.
Right.
Two of our LPs are about him, kind of. And then every year we used to do a benefit single for around Christmas.
Yeah.
Which like ostensibly are about David, but sort of just on the cover, and they'd be called David's Christmas or something like this.
What's the full name? David Elliott?
Yeah.
So David Elliott was also, you mentioned this, the two records, but when I first encountered the band, and would ask like, hey, do you want to talk or do you want to do something? You'd say, oh, you got to contact our manager.
Yeah.
David Elliott.
Yeah,
and I'd say, okay. I didn't think twice about it because I'm like, David Elliott, sure.
Yeah.
Well, how do I get a hold of them? And then Sandy or someone would be like, and I'd be like, what? And I didn't understand. So where did this name come from, if you will? Like, I don't know why the name,
I think Damien chose the name David because we had there's a song on Hidden World called David Comes to Life.
Mm-hmm.
Which was written, I think we wrote it about this kid, this hardcore kid we knew who was a real guy. And the song was going to be called like Ian Comes to Life, but it wasn't about him.
Oh, I see.
It was just his name ended up in the title. And I think as it came closer to the record coming out, I can't really call it. That sounds dumb. And David, I think it's just a nice classic square name.
Yeah.
And the Iliad comes from Mircea Eliade, who's like a famous anthropologist.
Oh. So is he someone whose work you admire? Or who came up with that?
I tacked on the Iliad part.
Okay.
And this was sort of like 2003 when Fucked Up was at its like weirdest and mythological and stuff. And just really digging for nerdy alchemist shit.
When you all had pseudonyms, there was more enigmatic quality to things.
Yeah. Right. And David would like appear on stage with us and stuff. Like a guy in a golden mask would stand behind us as we played.
Right. So it became kind of this nebulous, sometimes visible, sometimes invisible mascot. Like David is just associated with this band now.
He was our manager from the period between 2001 and I would say 2017.
Didn't he have his own email address and everything?
He continues to have
his own email address. And who answers never mind. This is why do you do that? Like that is in itself a narrative device to have a character floating among your songs and your albums and your band sometimes on stage. Like what is it about? Why do you do this exactly?
It's just funny, and I'm really into world building. And I think when we did it, we said we were like, well, we probably need a manager. We're a band now. We need a manager, and no one was going to manage us.
Is it because you're unmanageable?
Well, no. I mean, this was before we had a record out or anything.
Oh, there's no.
We were just this punk band. We were like, well, we should get a manager, but like. And this is back when I was writing my own interviews and stuff too. Like there's a big, the first thing we did in Maximum Rock and Roll was we had this big sort of coming out interview, which I wrote the questions and the answers.
That doesn't sound ethical. That does not sound ethical.
Yeah, but you know, it was more of like we were experimenting with the lines of things and just trying to sort of make a name for ourselves with this kind of weird world building.
Okay.
And that, you know, stuff like that is why people got into us, I think, just the weirdness.
And so, but then David became part of like the core, like he seems to be someone who recurs. He doesn't go anywhere. Like a joke's a joke.
Well, a fictional character can't go anywhere anyways.
Right. But is it safe to say that David is back now on this record? David never went anywhere, so to speak, but is David floating around? On songs like None of Your Business, Man, is David like...
Yes, it's a story about him. He is the protagonist in Dose Your Dreams.
Okay. So when you say there's a story, can you articulate that? Like, what's the story?
What's the story about?
Yeah.
Dose Your Dreams is about a man who has a job. And in the first song, he's working... There's a prequel song, which is called Tower on Time, which came out on a 7-inch that came out in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And in that song, he's getting ready for work, blah, blah, blah. He's walking to his job. So we start the album. He's up in his office. And through a series of unfortunate events, he winds up in the bathroom of his office. And he's drugged. Somebody in the next stall to him is smoking illegal drugs. And they waft, much like in this room.
Does it smell like illegal drugs in this studio?
Well, weed isn't illegal.
Right.
Until next week or something.
I don't follow that.
Anyways. He gets drugged. He like he comes back onto the floor and he's hallucinating. He's like doing cartwheels and stuff on the floor. He gets fired. He takes the elevator downstairs and he winds up in a garbage bin behind his office tower. And he meets Joyce Topps, who is a 80-year-old sort of shamanistic character who is at the end of her narrative when we meet her. And she's had an 80-year history of things, which are chronicled on another 12-inch treated called Raise Your Voice, Joyce.
Mm-hmm.
And she sort of rips his psyche off of him and sort of shows him the true nature of the reality of the world he's living in.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of the record is a chronicle of him going through this process of, my fingers are air quoting, but like the truth of his reality and, you know, how terrible things are and the inequalities and blah, blah, blah. And what he can do to save himself.
Okay. This begs a couple of questions that come to mind as you're speaking. Is there more than one David in the fucked up universe?
No.
This David is the same David as the one...
Well, this is the thing, like, the record David Comes to Life exists in the fictional universe of Dose Your Dreams. On track 5, he goes to see a play called David Comes to Life. So he's seeing a play about his own life. So it's not like the lines are very fuzzy.
Right.
It's not like we're making movies where the characters have to be developed and, you know, stand for something and have these character arcs. We're still making records, so it's...
But Joyce has one, you say, like an arc.
Joyce has, well, she just has sort of like, the record about her is just vignettes, these fictional vignettes.
Right.
She was, we sort of idealized that she would, every revolutionary moment of sort of the 20th century, she was in real life. She was a participant in.
Yeah.
So yeah, she okay. has, stuff has happened to her. Stuff happens to him on this record. And then the record, this record is also about Joyce's love affair across time with her partner, Lloyd.
Lloyd.
In the void.
In the void.
Lloyd in the void.
Lloyd in the void.
Yeah.
So, okay. That, it's this quite fascinating that you've interconnected so many aspects of the fucked up universe between records and songs and all that stuff. And I know, like, you've said a couple of times, like, you just were interested in doing stuff that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you've said
yeah.
that. Like, the weirdness, which could be shorthand for interesting.
Like, I just hope so, yeah.
Doing things that
I mean,
are...
I mean, being in a band is weird.
No, it totally is, but like you're pushing it a little bit. Like, I guess, and I don't want you to give away too much, and maybe you can't. On some level, I wonder if there's a grand template for this story that you're drawing from, or is it, because these connections must be mine, it must be hard to keep track of things on some level. You got all these releases, they're all connected, all these characters.
Well, you have to remember two people. You have to remember David and Joyce.
That's it?
Yeah. I mean... A lot of the characters we've just had around. Lloyd in the Void appears in the liner notes of Hidden World from 2006.
This is what I'm saying, though. Like, yeah. if I didn't have you here in front of me yeah. pointing to all these various things, I wouldn't know these things, right? And
but people do.
People,
like, people,
okay.
you know, people who pay attention.
Right, sorry.
Journalist types. The people who are out there digging for the facts.
Right.
You know, they know.
Fans are, do you get the sense that fans are following this as closely?
No.
Do you think it's hard to follow?
Yes.
Okay.
Not that it's hard to follow because it's so smart, but it's because most people, when you buy a record, you buy for the music and you want to listen to the music. You listen to it on your iPod.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's at the gym bringing the lyric sheet with them, you know?
Well, I would. It'd be on the treadmill.
Yeah, I don't know about that. It's made of newsprint.
Well, it's not the one I have in front
You'd
of
be
me.
The guy with the newsprint on your face, sweaty, inky fingers.
Yes, yes, ruining
absolutely.
The elliptical
for everyone
else. I would be that yeah. guy.
It's just because, you know, when you make a record once every 4 years, there's a lot of stuff you want to put in. And also, I want people to be able to listen to this record for a long time.
Yeah.
And be able to get stuff out of it maybe every time they listen to it.
Yeah. That's fair. Okay. All right. I don't think I'm capable of digging too deep into this because it would have required
busy?
More preparation. Yeah, I'm busy.
You have a day job?
I have a day job and a
Damn.
Family and a podcast you know.
Just one podcast?
So far, just the one.
Right.
Maybe there'll be another one. It's true. Every time we've ever done an interview, and I didn't even know you when we first started doing interviews, but you get my email somehow, probably because I wrote to you guys. I guess.
You probably wrote to our fake manager.
I probably did, yeah.
Like an idiot.
And then you, thanks. How was I to know? It's plausible.
Yeah.
So, but you would always say, can you send me the raw files?
Right. We're back to this.
Yeah. I just thought that was fascinating because I don't know why you, but now I learn you've done this with everyone. I wasn't special. I've always felt kind of cool being on the mixtapes.
You've heard the mixtapes. They're not all, they're
no,
not
it's
just
mostly,
transcripts of you.
No, it's mostly me. Just I
don't think that's true.
But you have a relationship with journalism that is fascinating. Like I feel like with journalists, I should say, as well as your fans. Like it's hard. You must admit, I think, that it's a bit difficult for people in my position to get the intricacies of what you're doing because it's like you say, there's a lot going on. Or maybe you didn't say
kind
that.
Kind of. I don't know. To me, there isn't. I made an album's worth of material.
Right. That's it.
Yeah. And five other side albums.
That's right. So that's the other thing. Like every time you put out, well, not every time, but you're putting out this record, Dose Your Dreams, but they're going to be associated releases, right?
Yeah.
How many? Do you know?
I know, yeah.
You do know?
I do know.
But you're not divulging.
A handful, yeah.
So what is that? And they're part of the same. And do you do this for every record?
No, we did. With David Comes to Life, we did a record called David's Town.
Yes.
Which was the fake compilation of bands that existed in the David Comes to Life universe.
But they were all you guys?
We did the music and they all had a different vocalist.
Right.
And there are several albums. There's several releases like that this time.
For this record?
Yeah.
Several? Like 7 inches, 12 inches, like not EPs?
Yeah, yeah. Split among the formats.
Right, sorry. Yeah, okay, yeah. But you've got...
There's a TV series.
on Vice or HBO or something. There's a TV series that would be this seems like it could be a TV series.
This record?
The record seems like there's a lot going on in terms just of the narrative and lyrical stuff. There seems to be a lot going on, and we haven't even gotten to the part about the different vocalists. You're
still looking at the first page.
No, I'm looking at the second page.
I'm
blindly looking at... sometimes if I look at a lyric sheet and I didn't make any notes because I was too busy and I thought we were talking last week and I was still unprepared. Something
had an extra week and you
and I still didn't do it. No, it's been a busy time. No, I'm just looking to see if things... sometimes just... Don't you find that sometimes you're just staring at a page and something will jump up at you and you're like, oh yeah, I should ask about that.
I don't interview people.
No, I don't know why I said that. Sorry, I don't know why I said that.
Like when I'm talking to my mom?
Yeah, exactly. When you're talking to your mom, yeah. No, there are. It's not unusual, I think, for you fucked up to collaborate with different vocalists.
Yeah.
How long has that been going on, since the inception or a few records in? I can't remember.
There's a bunch of different vocalists on the first album.
Yeah, right.
And then I think it really started in earnest with when we did Year of the Pig, which had an extended sequence with Jennifer Castle.
Right. And she's appeared on other records.
Lots, yeah.
Lots
she's on David. She's on this one. We covered one of her songs a long time ago.
Does she, this might seem like a weird question, but is she almost a character in the Fucked Up universe? Like as a singer?
Does Jennifer Castle strictly exist inside the Fucked Up universe?
No, not strictly. That's not what I meant. Oh. No, I know Jennifer Castle, a frequent guest
you
of this show.
You know her to be real?
I know her to be real. She's been on the show recently. And so I know her to be real and for her to have her own thing.
Yeah.
But in incorporating her throughout your band's trajectory, she, and given that you have all these voices and characters, she is, I would say, she's definitely part of the Fucked Up universe. I just wonder if you write parts for her, or do you, like...
No, she just has a great voice and is our friend. So
that's it?
Yeah.
Okay. So this record, we've established, you've done this before, but I think people are noticing more that there are more vocalists on this record.
Yeah.
It's not just Damien, and I don't mean to put you on the spot to try to remember everyone. Who are some of the guests you have on this record?
Jennifer Castle.
Yes, I've heard of her. I believe that she is real.
Yeah. Okay, Jennifer Castle, Lito Pimenta, Mary Margaret O'Hara, Jay Mascus, Jeremy Gaudet.
Is John Southworth actually...
John Southworth is on track 4, yeah.
Right. So you...
lots of people.
Lots of people.
Ryan Tong from Shit.
Mm-hmm.
S-H-I-T.
It's okay. You can swear on this podcast. But yeah. They are actually called S-H-I-T.
They
it's
have the dots. Yeah. Yeah, whatever those are called. Apostrophes.
No, they're called dots. That's the correct term. Right. That's
S-dot-H.
You're such a literary giant in front of me. I've already established that dots is now how I refer to periods. Why so many? Is this an abnormal number of people to be on a Fucked Up record, first of all? Because I feel like people are making a big deal about it. Like guests, I mean.
I guessed so. But I don't know. Yeah, kind of. I mean, but the other thing is there's two songs that Damien doesn't sing on that Jonah sings on, right?
Yeah.
And then there's one and a half that I sing on.
You do the Whisper song? Is that you?
Kind of the one that Snoop Dogg's on?
Don't you do a bit of like a whisper? Is that
isn't
you
the Whisper song is a song by someone, isn't it?
I think that's right. But there's a song where you kind of whisper a little. Is that you?
The title track, Dose Your Dreams?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, that's not... Well, that's...
Is that you?
That's sort of like Manchester style, like baggy singing, you know?
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
It kind of sounds like the... What's his name? The guy from the Stone Roses. What's that guy's name? I don't remember his name. Anyway, sorry to put you on the spot. But anyway, yeah, that guy, yeah, it kind of has that feeling. Yeah, that's so. Is that unusual? Do you sing on Fucked Up records like
no,
that?
No. I did backups on the first record, I think, for maybe a verse, like an ooh or not. But this is the first time I've sang on any album. Yeah.
Right. And what, so why? Sorry, the grand question for all of this is,
why?
Can you explain why this approach was taken for this record and what spurred you to actually sing? Like that's a big leap so far into a band's trajectory to suddenly sing, I would think.
Well, we just ended up with songs that weren't so blazingly punk. And we, you know, and also you just give your ears a break, you know, like I tried to like write more moody things this mm-hmm. time. So. Mm-hmm. There's just quieter moments, I think.
I think you're alluding to the fact that Damien's singing style isn't well suited for that kind of stuff?
Yeah, necessarily. Like once the guitars go away, it's kind of hard. But also like the, it wasn't really a decision to be like, there needs to be less screaming on this record. It was more like there needs to be less, because David Comes to Life is just like 80 minutes of loud guitars.
Yeah.
So it was more like there needs to be some moments here where there isn't so many, where the pace slows down a little bit and the volume kind of decreases.
Uh-huh.
To give your ears a bit of a break, and also to give people the sense that it is like it's a narrative and it's a traveling thing. It isn't just like the needle peaks and then it stays that way until the record's done.
Yeah, like I get the impression, particularly on songs where there's more than one vocalist singing.
Yeah,
that's like a device. Like that's a way of differentiating the meaning of the song, or
kind
whether...
of like it isn't a case where there's different voices or voicing the different emotions, or like it's not like every time Joyce appears it's sung by one person. It's just, you know, it's still just a record.
Yeah,
just for this way things sound.
Okay. And within that different approach, and you're talking about like making it a dynamic record, there are electronic and synthesized flourishes here. For some that will be a bit surprising to hear from you guys. I know you're interested in that stuff outside of this band. How did that come about? Because I think I read, I don't remember where I saw this, but it was something like you entered a studio and they just had the gear.
Yeah, we went into the studio, me and Jonah, and we brought our amps and guitars and stuff. And there was a drum machine and a couple synths hooked up to pedals and stuff like this. And there's tons of keyboards all over old fucked up songs.
Yeah.
But I learned, we just... You know, it was the same thing. We're writing like punk song after punk song after punk song, and then we would just have to take a break. And I'd be like, I can't, because I stand in a room like half the size of this when I do guitar.
Yeah.
And it'd be like a half Marshall stack and two Fender DeVilles, which is like 12 speakers are pointing at me. And I stand like a foot away from them when I do my guitar tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I got to get out of this room. But I didn't want to just like go have a nap or like whatever. So. Yeah. I just learned how to use this drum machine, and it sounded cool. And the sound of it makes sense to me over hard music, because, you know, the drum is so compressed coming out of a machine that it's like heavier than real drums. So it's almost,
yeah.
The songs where there are those drums, it's like the real drums, which Jonah is like a pretty raging drummist, but like his drums.
Did you just say drummist?
Yeah, he's a drummerist.
Okay, drummerist.
But like. That's texture on those songs, because the fake drums are so sound more so much urgent.
Yeah, urgent. And you've done things where you've like on Normal People, the drums kind of, it's a mixing thing, I guess, but they kind of start out murky and cloudy, and then they come up in the mix. They pan up. That's right. Yeah. So you've done things with percussion is a big part of this record in terms of exploring what's possible with this stuff. I mean, and drum machines, like that's just not something we're used to for me. And are you a fan of the digital hardcore? Were you ever a fan of that stuff?
Like Atari Teenage Riot?
Yeah.
I think I liked that song when I was a kid when it came out.
Did you ever see them?
No.
I saw them at the Opera House. They were pretty wild. But you don't have any affinity for that stuff. People are comparing some of the songs to that kind of stuff.
Who?
I don't remember. I read it somewhere.
I've
read like, well, it came to my, that band came to my, as the record progresses towards the, how many songs are there? 32 or something?
On this record?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's 57.
No, there's not. There's a lot.
Yeah.
But somewhere towards, there's like a span where like a bunch of them become kind of like this digital hardcore thing. And I'm like, oh, it's just unusual stuff. And I just
wonder. The record has a climax, I would say.
And right.
The sound peaks at a certain point.
Peaks?
Yep.
Like how, I mean, I know
the
what you
the volume
mean.
And the intensity, what the thing you're saying.
Does it, and then, so does it peak at the, in the middle and then come start to come down? Is that
where
what
you a mean? Climax would happen. It's a second song.
A second song at climaxes?
And then the last 54 songs are just a come down. Somebody should send you the record.
I have the record. I've been listening to it, but nice. It's a lot to process. And yeah, I'm curious about your interest in electronic music generally, because you say you learned to make a use a drum machine as a musician who's been doing this a long time. Like, you've been aware that the drum machine has existed. It just was in front of you and you thought, I'm going to try to...
Yeah.
This is not something we would have in our band, but whatever, it's here.
Yeah, we wrote a bunch of songs just sort of like dance songs, right? We were just like, I need a break. We'll just fuck around with this stuff and make just a little joke song for something else.
Did you think it would be a fucked up song?
No. So there's like five or six of them that we did, and we, you know, that was it. But then one of them, Doser Dreams, was one of those songs, and it had a little bit of a like edge to it, and then we beefed up the second half, and it became the fucked up song.
So,
but yeah, it was just, you know, I tried to learn the cello a couple years ago as well. There's a bunch of cello on a fucked up song that's coming out.
There's always room for cello.
Yeah.
That's what I think. That's just the thing I think. Yeah, that's great. Didn't Owen Pallett do a bunch of the strings? He wrote the bio, I think I read that, right?
Yeah, both.
He did the bio and he did the strings. Yeah. So strings are, yeah, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. Is this any more ambitious a record than you've always been an ambitious songwriter. Like, I feel like every record is an event record on some level. I don't mean in the sense that people are storming record stores to buy it. You know, they're going.
You think they will be?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. But it seems to me that you have a relationship with your expression that there's a few things going on. I feel like you're a lot about galvanizing your community and bringing people in to work with you and your band, and sometimes making them feel like they're members of the band, you know, like you're a part of this. And then secondly, like you seem to have a commitment to excellence. Like you seem to have a commitment to like, I'm going to make this the most epic shit it can be. Like, I want this to be the best thing it can be. And that's admirable, but like...
But I think every band, every record that comes out, somebody thinks that is the case, you know? People ask me this, and I've never like gone into the studio being like, I'm gonna try to write the fifth best fucked up record today.
But you're upping the ante. Like there's a sense that you're right. Everyone probably wants to top the thing they've done before, but you seem to go to specific lengths to that. Like a folk artist, say, who makes relatively straightforward music, it's a continuum if you follow them around. Like there's not, there could be like, this record, string section. I just made it with the string section. When I go on tour, I'll just make a version of it. You know, I'll do a thing that's kind of like what you're used to.
That's what we're going to do.
I'm generalizing, I suppose. But like this is a whole, how are you going to recreate some of this? I asked you this the last time because you had a record that was sort of similar. Like I was like, how are you going to pull this off live? And I don't know what you did. I can't remember. You did it.
Yeah.
Does any of this relate to your perspective on life? This notion of...
Life should be excellent?
No, not only that, but that it's... I feel like there's part of me that thinks you think you got to make the most of it because it's short and you're trying to... I know you say it's every 4 years you do something.
Yeah.
But I feel like you value... And I hear that in this record, that... This relationship to office work and being a drone and dreams and maintaining your belief in your dreams and your self-worth.
Yeah.
There's a connection there, right?
To what?
To you. I feel like you have that mentality.
Well, okay. So there's a lot of questions there.
Yeah, sorry. There weren't really even questions. There were observations.
The last thing I will say that, yes, you know, I'm an older person now. And the last...
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Couple years I've had to struggle with the idea of the fact that like I have gotten to this point and I have, you know, never really had a real job. I don't have a family. I am in this band. Is it worth it? Like, is it okay? And so this record is sort of is me going through the process of trying to figure that out. Like, is it okay to have a weird life and not, you know, not do the normal thing, which is sort of sounds trite. And it's very cliched thing for a rock record to be about. But, you know, I am going through those issues. And so this record is sort of like, is this okay? Like, am I on the right path? Is it okay to give, to live in a world where most people do one thing and I do something else? Is that, you know, is that okay? Hmm. And so that's what the record was about. In terms of like why it's like, why it feels like such a blockbuster thing every time we put a record out.
Well, like it's a scale thing. Like I feel.
Well, it's because, you know, me and Damien, we came out of punk and we were record collectors and we were sort of students of punk and hardcore, which is less about like artistic expression as like an aesthetic thing and a historical thing and a community thing. And so when your relationship to music is like, you know, partially, it's like partially based on your friends and these physical things that you get and these like relics from the past. Like every time you buy a record, it's like a classic piece of history, right? Like yeah. When you want to buy, when your relationship to punk music is like, I need to own the Minor Threat 7-inch. You're like, I need to own the best punk record of all time, right? And you just get this sense that like the thing you're involved in is just all these things that are amazing, classic pieces of history, right? So when it came time for us to put our own records out, we had this sense that like, we had a sense of history with it, like fucked
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could see the spectrum of time from the beginning of our band. We were like, and I quit a band that I was in before Fucked Up because I just thought we were putting out these waste little 7-inches going on these dumb tours. And I was like, we're not contributing in the right way. We're just putting out garbage, right? Which is what the world is. Just people put out garbage to make a living. And Fucked Up is a thing where our first 7-inch was like our declarative statement of like my entire life was wrapped up in like, you know, anarchism. And like I was learning about our first 7-inch is about the Spanish Civil War, which is like yeah. makes no sense. Like why, like especially who we are now, like why did we put a record out about that? And then the second record is this jokey police thing, but it was like in this tradition. So yes, I look at every single record writing it is like, this has got to be our biggest declarative statement we can ever make. Because that's like what punk is supposed to be to me.
Yeah.
And what music and artistic expression should be, you know? Every time you put something out, it should reflect everything you feel about the world. And it should encompass like all of that, all of the passion you have for everything. Or else why put it out? And so every time we put a record, that's the feeling we have. And that's why it takes years to make sometimes. That's why I take long breaks. But yeah, we have, you know, I'm not fucking around really. We do put out joke records, but you know, those also get slotted into like, you know, punk bands do historically do funny Christmas songs, whatever. So we do that.
You've done that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But it's all based on like these traditions and understanding or hoping to understand where these things will fit in the continuum.
I see. That's what I was getting at in my own stumbly, clumsy way. Like there's a, particularly when I think of your band, I feel like there's a real purposeful aspect to everything you do.
Yeah.
And that's all I was getting at. And I was going to say I doubt you care, but now I actually think, because I know you a little bit, that you do care. Do you think that this stuff, that the work you're putting into it, is received in an equal measure to the effort that you've put into conveying, you know, these kinds of ideas and this kind of effort into these records? Do you think that journalism is journalism? I know you have a loyal fan base, but do you think people are picking up on that stuff, or are they just...
Yes, because this is the thing, like I can speechify and like have the hope of what my record is going to do, but if one kid is like, this record helped me through X, then, yeah. you know, that's worth more than what my intention was.
Right.
Which happens, like, you know, kids send us messages all the time, like, this song helped me through this hard time, blah, blah, blah. And so that's what David was about. Like, people would send us messages being like, this song really helped me through a hard time. Like, this record was important to me. And so for me, this Dose of Dreams is more, even more so like a hand reaching out to someone's hand and be like, this is for you, you know? And that's why that these songs, the Whispers or the Jonah songs are like, that he, whatever, I don't remember what they're called now, but
there's 57 songs and it's hard to keep track.
But those
of
are designed. Yeah. Some kid's going to put their headphones in and they're going to hear these lyrics like so close. And that's, you know, they're meant to hit in a very specific way.
So this vocational existential the angst thing that you were vaguely describing, where you're like, is it okay for me to have a weird life?
Yeah.
Is this precipitated by the fact that Josh in your band gets a job, or Jonah moves away and to live a different life, and Damien's busy doing all sorts of other projects? Are you starting? I don't know what everyone else is up to. Sorry, didn't mean to leave.
Can you name the other members of
Ben,
the band?
Ben and Sandy. I didn't mean to leave them out, but they're all, I think, Sandy does other stuff. Ben's primarily a songwriting guy, right? He's sort of...
He performs in other musical acts,
Right, but I mean, his sort of outside work of the band, unlike some of the other people I just described, Ben's outside work from this band is more music mostly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So all I'm saying is a few of them get... sort of jobs.
Yeah.
And then your band is sort of has to negotiate that part too, right? Like everyone's busy.
Yeah.
Does that precipitate you being like, well, what the hell am I doing?
Well, of course, yeah, because I'm in a band with, or I'm in a project with people that have, sort of, I will say like moved on, like have kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm still like, well, you know, fucked up is my thing.
Right.
Now.
Well, that's the other aspect of this. You used to write songs together with Damien, you said.
Yeah.
This is not the... I always think of you... I don't know if I've just picked up on this from interviews and stuff and liner notes, but I've always thought of you as kind of the mastermind of the band on some level. So the fact that people are maybe picking up on you having more... a more complete role or whatever on this record, I was like, that's kind of how I think of all Fucked Up stuff.
Well, in the studio I am, but like the face, the sort of identity of Fucked Up is a lot of Damien, especially the public facing side is Damien, like the live show.
Yeah, yeah.
And we sort of picked up on, like, I think we sort of, to a very minor extent, like a Fucked Up show is sort of recuperative to people now because of the role Damien plays as a front man. It's like it's not like we're interested in being violent and like having, you know, huge circle pits and stuff. Like we're a loud punk band, but Damien really like curates a certain feeling in the room when Fucked Up plays, which is, you know, that's just as important as what happens in the studio. So,
right. Okay. Sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, I sort of make the records and envision the structure of things, but
releases, projects, like
we all fill it in,
right?
The Fucked Up is primarily still like a live experience, and that's all of us, and you know, led by Damien's vibe.
So you've got all these additional auxiliary vocalists, guest vocalists is the industry term. Do you bring some of them along with you for these songs when you play them live?
No, bring Jonah. I'll come along as well.
Will you do those songs live?
Which ones?
Like the title track? Will you do Dose Your Dreams?
Yeah, probably.
You'll figure it out? Okay.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
So
we're musicians, professionally.
Yeah. I know. I've read about you in magazines. So you're not going to bring anyone. So does Damien deal with those parts then? Or Ben or Sandy? I guess the vocals are...
Yeah, a mix of it.
Mix of it. Okay.
Do you want it? We get into the nitty gritty of it. We have not rehearsed for this.
That's album. What I was wondering.
We have to figure it out.
You have to figure it out. Okay. So there is speculation that Damien's role might be a bit lessened because of this record, and I don't understand. Is that true? Is there any truth to that? That his role in the band
Well, he sang on less songs than he usually
No,
does.
That's the record, but I mean, I'm talking about the band. Like, does any narrative about, well, he sings on less stuff, he must be taking a bit of a lesser role. Is that true to you? Like, does that feel like something that's going to happen? Like live?
He had a lesser role on the record, but live, you know, it's not like we're going to play songs and these whole chunks of the thing. He's just going to sit on the stage.
He's going to be there. Like, that's
the
all.
The live show is Damien focused.
Right, okay.
Which is like, that's our identity as a live band.
Okay. So I guess in summary, because I saw you checking your phone.
I hate summary.
Do you have to go? I hate summary. That was good. Good callback to a Fucked Up song.
Yeah. I'm surprised you know that.
Do you have, what's the word? Contempt for me?
No.
I feel like you like me.
Well, we have sort of a ribald.
Ribald?
A ribald
so is there's
opposition.
There's a little rancor. I feel like this is going.
Outward me.
I'm trying to outward you.
Yeah.
No, I hope you don't have contempt for me. I pay a little bit of attention, but as you know, sometimes I interview three people a day. So I have to be kind of try to keep in touch with everything that's going on. And I'm
Isn't
older.
This your job?
No.
Oh, this is your side
this
piece?
This is my hobby
right.
that I do for fun. What was I going to say? Oh, I just wanted to ask you. You say that this record, that these songs were you trying to kind of figure this out, this notion. Am I weird? Is this okay to be weird?
Yeah.
At the end of this, making this, writing this, did you come up with something? Did you come up with an answer to this question? Like, is it okay? Am I?
Well, I came to the understanding that I am weird,
yes.
which is what allowed me to make this record, which is the climax to my own story is creating Dose Your Dreams.
What, in life?
Yeah. No, the process of me trying to figure it out.
Oh.
The denouement of that process was the creation of this record, which hopefully is positive. So it had a happy ending.
It does have a happy ending for you. Like, you feel okay with yourself. I don't... You've examined yourself on other songs, other records, right?
Yeah.
But
we did it on Glass Boys, but it was very dour.
Dour?
We were very unsure, yeah.
Have you kind of disavowed that record on some level? I feel like you
Like, officially?
No, I just wonder if you felt like a little unfulfilled by the end of touring it or something. Like, did you feel like it didn't quite do what you wanted it to do in the end?
Well, it remains to be seen.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think it's a good record.
But
it wasn't taken like our other records.
Taken? Like received?
Yeah.
But it wasn't as...
But that's fine.
So there is some aspect of Dose Your Dreams that's a reaction to that record?
Yes.
In terms of sonically and...
Yeah.
Okay.
The urgency of it.
Right.
The attitude, yeah.
Right. Okay. I do know also that you... I've alluded to this earlier. Have you become a fan of electronic music, per se, or the scene, the community?
Yeah, I mean, I go to a lot of parties that I was going to, but I sort of... Yeah, I was listening to, like, electronic music and... when we started the band.
I hate to do this pigeonhole thing where, like, because I think you and I are the same in that we've always probably listened to lots of different kinds of music growing up.
Yeah.
That's fair, right?
Like, I would say everyone
says
that.
Everyone says that, but there's this difference between saying that and actually going through someone's record collection and figuring it out. I feel like,
right.
I don't know about you, but like one of the things that I loved about punk was that, and being a part of punk, I guess, was it felt very open-ended. Like, I didn't feel caged in by anything. I felt like I could play a hip hop
beat
or whatever.
Sure.
Like that was important to me though. Like everything else felt very regimented.
But the thing is, it's like it's only people who are regimented in their thinking a little bit that's even an issue for them, right? Like a normal person wouldn't be like, oh, I listen to all sorts of music, so it's not weird for me that I listen to all kinds of music. You know what I mean? It's only ever like punks who are like, you know, punk allowed me to listen to all sorts of different kinds of music.
Are you
just
calling me a regimented person? Maybe
no, but you know what I mean? Like, this question always comes up into the context of some genre that someone else is stuck in. Everybody listens to all kinds of different music.
I suppose
music.
It's true.
Like, when I was a teenager, when I was focused on punk and hardcore music, I didn't really listen to anything else. But you grow out of that kind of quickly. Everyone does, I think.
But you mentioned parties and stuff that you go to that, aren't they called raves? Some of them are called raves, right? Like the electronic music party is like a rave?
You walk up to the after hours and you ask the man, is this where the electronic party is? Electronic music party? And if it is, they say yes. And if it's a rave, they say no, this is not what you're looking for.
I guess I'm just curious if you are, if that, the subcultural aspect of that stuff appealed to you the same way like punk did. I know that's kind of a weird...
Yeah, for sure. It, just in the sense that it's another community to belong to.
It's young people. Yeah, exactly. But the music resonates. Like I'm saying, like this record, I know this about you. Like I've talked to you about this before, and I think you've said, I got to leave your kid's birthday party. Not that you ever came to my kid's, but you'd just be like, I got to leave now to go to have a electronic music party.
Your kid's birthday party that went until 1 a.m?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I have to go now.
This party was lit, by the way.
And I always think, oh, that's interesting. Like, I didn't know that that's something you would enjoy. But I think, I mean, we worked together on this Long Winter thing too. Like, this notion of, I don't know, open-minded and open-ended community stuff, that just means a lot to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, but when I'm sitting at home listening to dance music, it's not because it's not like a cultural product.
Right.
Yeah, I just like, to me, dance, like techno and stuff is just hard, urgent music. which is I like it for the same reason I like punk music.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's the same sensation.
Yeah, it's just I like really like it's the same way I really only really like blockbuster movies, you know, because I when I'm giving myself to an entertainment product, I want to be maximalist, you know, big,
yeah,
out there. And there's a lot of electronic music that I don't listen to because I think it's boring and like minimal stuff that doesn't appeal to me.
You like the saturation?
What?
Like production saturation. You like a lot of elements going on, it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I like big, yeah, lots of different stuff happening, loud, fast. Like when I listen to punk music, I didn't really listen to pop punk, and I didn't listen to like, I sort of listened to emo, but not for very long, just because I was like, this isn't upbeat enough for me. So I sort of went from like punk to like hardcore, and specifically the genres that were like the fastest and craziest. And then I went to like Northern Soul, which I did because it was like involved record collecting. But that's like the fastest kind of soul music.
Mm.
And then from there, I was like kind of disco-y stuff. And then from there, it was like electronic music. So the lineage is very, connects well for me.
And it's all like on a rhythmic level, it's music that literally will move you. Like you like the notion that it's got a visceral, physical element to it.
Yeah, when I was first going to shows, I would, part of, so much of the appeal was that I would get to stage dive. Like all the first punk shows I went to at the Opera House.
Right.
Which, you know, didn't have a barricade or anything. It was very easy. It's very easy to, yeah, move and stage dive and stuff.
Hmm.
And yeah, the tribal aspect of it was
You did like that stuff. Okay. Anyway, I there's a lot going on this record, obviously, and I hope have we got to any of it? We got to
what
a bit.
What page are you on?
I'm just at, well, I flipped back from normal people to
a track. We got to the end of side one.
Yeah, we haven't gone very, very far here.
We could do a podcast just about us talking about these pages.
Yeah, we could. Well, I think we are.
Well, no, but this could be our podcast.
Like together. We just do a, what are we, like about the songs or the pages themselves just flipping? Like I feel like we could talk about,
that might be boring.
That would be a little bit boring, yeah. All I'm saying is I think the record's fantastic. And I feel like the more it's one of these dense things where the more you spend time with it, the more you like, oh shit, I didn't notice that. Oh, that's another, what the hell? What's going on? And like, I think the Voices thing is cool. I know it's caused some confusion among people. Like, what the hell? Damien's not singing all the songs. But it really comes across like it feels like a theatrical element to the record.
Yeah.
So it's good. I just want you to know that I like your record.
Thanks. What's your favorite song on it?
I like Normal People quite a bit. And I didn't even ask you about these videos. What's going on with these goddamn videos? And you're like what are you, a mime or a clown? What is it?
A clown.
You're a clown.
It's a character from the album.
Which character? You tell me. Is it Lloyd? No, it's not Lloyd. Who's the clown on the, is it the clown? I don't remember.
Keep going.
I can't remember all the characters. No, I'm sorry.
The character I play in the first video is named Dr. Smile.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Which is the first video? I can't remember. How many videos are there right now as we're speaking? Three?
Two.
Two, okay. The videos are weird, I have to say. The normal people.
I'm weird. We've gotten to this conclusion.
Yeah, we've gotten to this conclusion as well, yeah. Anyway, it's good. What's kind of coming up next then? Are you going to tour and stuff?
Yeah, we tour all winter.
Wait, all winter? Don't we have the festival to put together? The Long Winter Festival?
Yeah, I can do that remotely, I think.
It seems like you do.
Yeah, it's mostly done over email.
Kind of distance, a little distance.
Well, yeah, that's another
problem. Were you at that last meeting?
I was not. I was sick.
And the last meeting was interesting. It's a lot. Like this other thing you do, it's a lot of stuff, this Long Winter thing.
Yeah.
We should probably get to work on that, actually. I haven't done much for that. Anyway, okay, so you tour and then these other release. When's the next? Dose Your Dreams will be out.
On Friday, October 5th.
Right. Congratulations. On Merge, by the way.
Merge, yeah.
New label.
New label.
What's going on? Why a new label? You were on Matador. You were on, what were you on before that? Jade Tree? Was that before Matador? I can't remember.
One record on Jade Tree.
Yes.
Four records on Matador.
Right.
One record on Merge.
Right. Why the move to Merge? I thought we were wrapping up, but there's so much to
talk
about.
Well, we had a four-album deal with Matador, and it concluded.
Oh, okay. Nothing. But Merge, that's exciting.
Yeah.
That's another exciting label. Do you have like a Canadian label?
Arts and Crafts.
Oh, it's still Arts and Crafts here.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Does Merge, I know they're you work for them sort of now, but like, was that a label that you liked at all? Like, were there, because I can't see some of that stuff being appealing to you. Like some of the stuff that means a lot to me on Merge, I don't know.
Like what?
I don't want to say because we're going to be in an awkward position where they'll hear this and be like, hey, he doesn't like the thing that we like the most. But it was.
I mean, I didn't really listen to a lot of records on Matador, but they're a good label.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's it. Okay. So these other things that we've vaguely talked about, other releases, would they be on Merge or are they just?
No. Well, yeah. One of them is on Merge. A couple of them aren't.
You've already got this all planned out.
Yeah. A lot of them are already out, already exist.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, right. The prequel and the... Is that what you mean?
What do you mean?
I don't know. You mentioned the Razor... What was it? The Razor Voice Joyce? Is that a prequel? Is that what you were saying earlier?
It's like a side piece.
Side piece, right. Yeah. Okay. So some of them are out. There's more coming. Okay. Where do you want to send people to learn more about the record and the band?
Yeah. Learn about the record by buying it and then listen to it and read it.
Mergerecords.com or your local,
something like this,
local
yeah.
retailer. Do you guys have a website now?
We've had a website for about 10 years.
You've had that blog. Is that the website?
Our website is fuckedup.cc.
What's CC?
I don't, like Cambodia or something.
Oh.
Fuckedup.com obviously was like probably the first internet site that was purchased, so we couldn't get that. But we do have fuckedup.cc and it is our website.
That's your main website. Do you still maintain that blog you had? Looking for gold? Is
look
that
at gold. Look. Yeah. Yeah, but it's about something else now.
Oh, okay.
It's literal now.
Do you maintain it?
No.
Who? I thought you used to maintain that thing.
I did used to maintain it.
Who does now?
No one.
David?
It does not get
updated. Oh, it doesn't get updated anymore. Okay. All right.
This all could have been researched in advance.
No, I don't have time. I just like to talk to people and have normal conversations. I listen to the record. I pretend to look at the lyric sheet while they're sitting in front of me. And
every
time
you talk to someone, you have their shit in front of you and you're like, I printed this all out.
Generally, I would have notes, a couple. These days I don't have anything. I just trust myself. And as you can see, sometimes it's an unmitigated disaster because I don't know the clowns.
That's what this was?
I don't know. No, I actually thought this went well. And I thank you for being on the show. Is there a song from Dose Your Dreams that we can play for people right now? That
they
can
don't hear? Know.
No, just tell me. Just pick a song. I'm telling you. Okay. First of all, it'll be fine. The people at Merge aren't going to care.
Do you podcast play full songs? Because the podcast I listen to, they just play snippets.
At the end of an interview.
They would play a snippet of, say, a U2 song or perhaps an REM song.
Are you an REM fan?
No.
Are you a U2 fan?
No.
You don't like U2?
No.
But you like the podcast about you two?
Yeah.
Why do you like the podcast? It is very funny, but don't you feel like a bit in the... If you don't know anything about
you... If I liked you two, it would be less funny.
Okay, not like them.
Just like if you liked... If we liked each other, this would be less funny.
Do you... Sometimes, because I grew up knowing a lot about you two, just that's the way I was raised.
You were
my
raised
parents.
In a U2 knowing family?
Yeah, yeah.
A good quality
my
Canadian.
Cousins or whatever. But so they all
raised by your cousins?
Well, no. My cousins got me into music initially.
Okay.
They played me my first music. So my parents didn't
rattle them.
No, it was like it was earlier than that. Way earlier than that. Anyway, my point is
Boy War.
See now you know U2 a little bit. What I was gonna say is sometimes the Scots on that U2 podcast will say something that's kind of trivial, just like a U2 thing that I'm like, oh, I know what that is. But
a factoid.
But someone who doesn't like them, as you profess not to like them, I would think they'd be lost as they talk about Wide Awake in America or some trip they made. Do you find that you can keep up with stuff?
Well, I keep up with the humor, but I don't keep up with the U2 stuff because I don't care
you
about
don't
U2.
Care. So why would you spend... Do you think it's weird that they made a podcast just about U2?
I mean, because it's funny.
It is funny. Yeah. Anyway. No, what I do is I ask people at the end of the show, at the end of the interview, rather, if we can play a song from whatever, if it's a comedian, they play a bit, whatever. I just ask people.
A bit.
Well, they have records, so I say, hey, can I play something from your... Anyway, is there a song from Dose Your Dreams that you would like me to play for people? Knowing that the record's coming out still.
Like, and this is coming out on Tuesday?
The plan, if people are listening to this on Tuesday, then it's today, yes. If not, then it was out on...
if it's any other Tuesday.
It was out on Tuesday, yeah. Yeah, Tuesday.
This came out on a Tuesday.
The Tuesday preceding the release of Dose Your Dreams on October 4th?
5th.
5th. I should have done research on that. Yeah, the 5th, yeah. Yeah, is there something? Just pick a song.
But it has to be a fucked up song?
Has to be ideally something off of Dose Your Dreams is what I'm suggesting. I know there's lots of titles, but if you can remember one of them, I'm going to pull up the songs on my phone.
Oh, yeah, you pull them up. You have them in front of you, too.
Well, I do. I just wonder if you want to... Here, just...
Why don't you pick one?
I don't want to do that, though. It's insightful when the guest picks it. I could, but I no.
Well, I have a preference for all of them, which is why they're all on the record. I want to know what you think should be played as a...
Well,
someone who isn't me.
There's some dark stuff here for sure. Like, I don't want to live in this world anymore, comes to mind. Yeah. Who's on that song besides Damien? There's someone else, right?
John Southworth.
Oh, is John on that one too?
Yeah.
Okay. He's amazing. How did you come across John Southworth?
I met him at Maggie McDonald's birthday party last year.
He's done a
1 year ago. I went to her birthday party yesterday, and I think I met him at the last one last year.
Was he at this one?
No.
Oh man,
he got demoted.
He got demoted from the party. John's done a Long Winter thing or two for us too.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he did one of the. He was definitely at the kids. Remember we did the kids one?
Yeah.
He was definitely at that one singing, and he's been at other ones. Hmm. He's been on the show twice. I can't remember, once or twice. I should
more
have
times than me.
On this show? Yeah. I think so. You've only been on the one time, which is
nice.
Infamous. It's not that special to be on the show.
Thanks for the invite.
No, it's great. I was making fun of myself, not your decision to spend time with me. I think that's totally valid. I don't know, man.
Well, we've already established that I'm weird and make weird decisions.
Raise your voice, Joyce.
Why don't you just press play on one and see how far? Just keep it playing.
Just okay.
Just go do the dishes while it's playing.
Oh, should we play Talking Pictures or House of Keys or Dose Your Dreams? You sing Dose Your Dreams.
Half of it, yeah.
What if we play that?
Yeah, do it.
Okay. This is the title track from the new Fucked Up album. It's called Dose Your Dreams. Mike, thank you so much for being back on my show, and I hope you had a good time.
Thanks for having me.
On this podcast. And if we make a podcast, this is kind of what it would be like. Except
banter, yeah.
I think it might be better. I feel like you would have more of a role in it, like a controlling aspect to what we did. And I think I'd be like, Mike, I don't want to do that.
And
then I'd
then do people it. Do podcasts and be like, wow, it's really weird that Vish isn't doing much on the podcast anymore. Just Mike. He must be the mastermind.
Dose Your Dreams. Mike, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks.
And best of luck with everything.
Thanks. Yeah.
Special thanks again to my friend and occasional collaborator from Fucked Up, Mike Halichuk. Thank you, Mike, for being on the 431st episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available on all iOS and Android platforms, and also on YouTube, Spotify, and Audioboom as well. If you're looking for a particular episode of this show that you can't find on any of those streaming and platform things, then you should go to my website, where you can also learn more about me and sign up for my regularly scheduled newsletter, that website, vishkhanna.com. You can like Creative Control on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at vishcreative, or follow me at vishkhanna. I'm also on Instagram at vishkhanna, by the way. Listen to a radio show version of Creative Control on Wednesdays at noon Eastern Standard Time around the world at cfru.ca, or on an actual radio at 93.3 FM if you're in or near Guelph. Also, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation to keep this podcast going. It can be in any amount whatsoever. It could be $2, $3, $4. It could be $5 or $6. It doesn't matter. It could be any of those and anything you want. It's flexible. It's monthly flexible. You can make it lower, higher. You can cancel it, whatever you want. Please consider visiting patreon.com/creativecontrol to make such a donation. I'd like to thank the in-kind support I received for this show by the likes of Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, Planet Bean Coffee, and Granddad's Donuts. And also my friend Jim Guthrie. He lets me use a song of his called The Rest Is Yet to Come to end this show each week, the instrumental version of that song. If you want to learn more about Jim and his instrumental music and his music that isn't only instrumental but features him talking in a tuneful manner, it's called singing, go to jimguthrie.org. And finally, thanks to you. Thanks to you for listening all the way up to here. That's amazing that you kept at it. You just kept listening to the show. Thank you for listening to this show and telling your friends about this podcast and subscribing to the podcast and downloading episodes and all those things. It means a lot. I have to go. I have to go. So I will talk to you very, very soon. Goodbye for now.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.